Welcome back to Nach Yomi. We are going to be learning together Ezra Perek Hei, the fifth chapter of the book of Ezra today. This is now when the building resumes. So we're flashing forward a number of years, and at this point in time, we hear in the first two psukim of the 17 pasuk Perek, the first two psukim describe how Haggai and Zechariah, the Nevi'im, came to the Jewish people and came and gave their prophecies to Israel, at which time Zerubbabel and Yeshua ben Yotzadok get up with all their ministers and start rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash with the help of the prophets. So a few questions over here is, what did the prophets say? So if you go into Sefer Haggai, I mean, this is pretty explicit, it's amazing. Here you have Sefer Ezra referencing a book in Nevi'im, and you can explicitly see what's being said. So if you look in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalet of Haggai, Haggai turns to the people and he says, Ha'eis lochem atem losheves b'boteichem sefunim v'abayis hazeh harev. You're living in your paneled houses. You're living in luxury. And the house of God is desolate. So what's he saying? He's saying, start building. Zechariah, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zayin. He says, Lochein Koimar Hashem, Shavti Lirushalayim Barachamim. Hashem says, I have returned to Jerusalem in mercy. My house will be built in it. Ne'um Hashem HaTzavaka, says Hashem, the Lord of the hosts. V'kov Yinotel Yerushalayim, and the measuring line will be applied over Jerusalem, which is the symbol of building. So it's very explicit that they're saying this. When did this happen? Well, if you look at the introduction to both of those prophecies, in both Zechariah and Haggai, you'll see it's in the second year of Darius. So we're talking about all these years later. Chazal's time frame, we talk about 14 years later, is when this is all occurring. And now the prophets are saying, why are you not building Yerushalayim? The time has come. It's the 70 years from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What happens next? Psukim Gimel to Hey. We're now here about the opposition. So we suddenly hear that at this time, Tatanai, who's the governor of Trans River, we're not sure which river. Some of the Farshim say that this refers to the Euphrates, so he's the governor in the north. He comes and with Shtar Boznai comes along, and they come along and said, who allowed you to continue building? You know, in a certain sense, we can hear this in today's parlance. Who changed the status quo on the Temple Mount? That's just the way the newspapers frame the same question asked to these 2,500 years ago. And they ask for the names of all of those who are involved in the building project. That's not a good sign, generally. And it describes how they're about to send a letter to the king, who is Darius, the Persian. But the psukim interject, V'ein elokahom havos al shovei Yehudayeh. That Hashem, their God, was looking after them and did not allow them to be interrupted while the letter was being sent and the return letter was sent. So just a few points to ponder. What's his business? Who are these folks and what's going on over here? So the Malbim points out an incredible thing. He says, there's a tremendous hashkacha. Clearly these are not the same Tzarei Yehuda and Binyamin that we heard about in the previous parak, because they didn't negotiate or ask questions. They forcefully applied pressure and stopped stopped them building physically. So it sounds like these are not the same enemies, and they just don't really know what the metzius, what the reality is. So they're saying, well, who give you permission? Like, how's this working? So they try to find out. This is clearly a different group of people in the time has passed. Rav Sadia Gaon points out, trying to identify who these people are, that when we talk about this fellow Tatanai and Shtar Boznai, it could be that these are assimilated Jews who are governors. And he also points out that it's possible that when it talks about Shesar, who's one of the seven ministers of Achashverosh, at the beginning of the Megillah in Perek Aleph Pasuk Yudalet, this is referring to Shtar Boznai, who's Shesar in the Megillah. Fascinating. Just interesting in terms of identifying who it is. So now they write a letter. Psukim Vav to Yud Zayin. This takes us to the end of the Perek. And they write a letter to the king. King at this point is Darius II, Darius the Persian. Here's the letter they wrote. And again, this is all in Aramaic. They send greetings and then they note that at the time they had come to the province of Judea and they'd noticed that the house of God was in the process of being built. So they asked who allowed its completion. And they said, well, we're going to send you the names, O king, although the foremen who are doing this, who are actually rolled up their sleeves and are doing this. And when questioned, they told us that their servants are Hashem in heaven, and they're rebuilding the house, which was built originally under the king of Israel. But it was destroyed because of the sins of their fathers, and it was given to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who destroyed it. And they described that the gold and the silver in the temple was taken to Babylon and then given to Cyrus, by Cyrus, to the governor, whose name was Sheshbazzar, and commanding him to take it back to the site of the temple. And that same Shesh Batzar laid the groundwork for the temple, but it was not yet finished. And now they ask the king, please, do the research. Was it in fact Cyrus who gave the permission to build the temple as they claim? So this is the letter. You'll notice something very interesting, and that is that the tone of the letter is very different to the tone of the letter in the previous perek sent 14 years prior by the Tsarei Yehuda uBenyamin. Over there, it was about conspiracy, subterfuge. The Jews are trying to rebel. They're building their temple in order to secede from the Union. That was the whole tone of it. Whereas over here, it was, we're not sure exactly what's going on. Maybe you want to check. We don't really know. And you know what's interesting as well in this letter? Is they don't even make reference to the Sitna, that letter sent about stopping the building. It's almost as if they're clueless. They ask the people say we got permission from Cyrus, and they say, can the king check if Cyrus gave permission? But they don't know about the interleading Gezerah. Why is this? So Rav Shuah points out a very, very fascinating point. And that is that according to the timeline that we have, that Chazal puts it, that there was Cyrus, and then there was Achashverosh, and then there was Daryavesh. If that's the case, then the whole Purim story occurred in the middle. And the Purim story is critical for understanding this, because during the Purim story in Perek Tes is on that day, which should have been the day of the massacre and the genocide of the Jews, was the day the Jews stood up for themselves and fought back and killed their enemies in all the provinces, in all the 127 provinces of the Persian Empire, which means that the Tsarei Yehuda were killed already. Those people who were making it so difficult for the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash were dead. And in fact, this also gives us a certain level of aura. There's probably a sense of fear at this point in time of starting with the Jews, which means the tone of the letter of these new folks, these folks who are not involved in the original composition of the original letter, are really merely questioning in an honest way as opposed to clamping down. They just simply don't know. A very different perspective than the original letter, which lays the groundwork for actually a conversation rather than a reaction, which is what we saw Achashverosh or Artaxasta responding to in the first letter. This closes our parak. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.